Thank you. Okay. Yeah. And so I want us to look now more at prayer. So I'm following on from this. And I believe this is very important. Very important. So brothers and sisters, as we do, I want to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for your beautiful love for us. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness in drawing us to ask for forgiveness and in forgiving us. And Father, we just pause now, and if there's anyone who needs to ask for forgiveness for things that they've done or perhaps things that they haven't done, ask for forgiveness now in prayer. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We praise you for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, we enter now then into listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning through the Word, with open hearts, yielded minds, that your will be done in our lives. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Amen. Now then, you know that God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And this is well noted, of course, in the Christian church from the early times of Christianity. We've seen this. It says in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And we know that as God is a Trinity, we are also a Trinity. And this is a tremendous thing. It says, let's go, for example, to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's talking about the spirit, the soul, and the body. And in Hebrews as well, in Hebrews 4:12, it says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow," which is the body, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart." It's interesting that, you know, God is three. He's made us as three. Let me just say, I say it like this for us. I say that we are spirits who have a soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and we live in a physical body. So that's a very good way, I believe, of understanding who we are. Now, I've got to say that the New Testament was written in a Jewish way. It's holistic. And so it's not too keen on separating out or compartmentalizing too often. But nevertheless, it's there. We can see that differentiation in the verses I've just read. But there's three for God. And the word Elohim is used in the in Genesis, by the way, just as an aside. Elohim is an interesting word because it in the Hebrew there's singular, there's plural, and there's plural for more than two. And the word in Genesis is plural for more than two, for God. This remarkable testimony to the Trinity right there in the beginning of Genesis. So if ever you have Jehovah's Witnesses or people who don't believe in the Trinity coming around, you know, I do like to have a chat with them. They don't seem to like to chat to me so much these days. but you know, it's a very fascinating truth there that we can see. You know, Moses then, in the Old Testament, we see, you know, with the tabernacle, we see this three appearing in the tabernacle. There was the outer courtyard, the place where the sacrifice was made. And then there was the Holy of Holies, the holy place. There was three separate, distinct places. I was reflecting on these three and the things of three, and I was reflecting on this last week and considering what happens when we pray, and how for a lot of people the truth is that when we mention prayer, and you mention, oh, we're going to have prayer every day and we'll probably be here for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, you know, the truth is that for many people, people just think, oh, you know, well, I'll go along I could probably squeeze quarter of an hour, but anything else, it just gets a little bit boring. Let's hope we could have a chat and a cup of tea or something and, you know, break the time up. I'm just being honest. But the truth is that, in fact, once we understand what prayer offers, or we understand what's happening, it doesn't ever appear like that anymore. It takes on a whole different, life-changing, utterly transforming dimension. And it must do that for a real Christian. It must do that. Brothers and sisters, unless we are in this with understanding, it's very hard to believe that we're truly following Jesus. You see, to be a follower of Jesus, we've said it so many times before, to be a follower of Jesus, we must understand what Jesus was saying. And you can't follow Jesus unless you truly understand what he's saying. Now listen, this is what Jesus says. He says, listen, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, couldn't you pray 1 hour? Couldn't you just pray 1 hour? Well, the reason why people find it hard to pray 1 hour, and the reason why it's difficult, is the first part of the prayer is in the realm of the flesh. So when the call to prayer comes and we know that we should pray and there's a desire to pray, we're still in the flesh. What happens is we remain in the flesh. And now the first challenge for prayer in our lives, in your life and my life, I promise, the first challenge for prayer is this, the flesh realm. Well, we've got to say to ourselves, your flesh doesn't want to pray. My flesh doesn't want to pray. I don't want prayer. My flesh wants entertainment. My flesh wants to have fun. My flesh wants to be doing things that I enjoy. That's the first battle right there. Just actually deciding to do it and then entering into it. And even when you do, it goes something like this. People enter into prayer and they go into prayer and they've made it past all the end. No, I'm going to, prayer's more important than you know, the golf or the sports on the TV or the whatever it might be. I'm going into my room. I'm going to pray. And people go in to pray, and then it's a case of, bless my mum, my dad, my grandparents, my brother, whatever it is, you know, and they go through the list of prayer things. And they get through that list, or maybe they use the hand things that we had recently, you know, and they get through that, and that takes just a few minutes. And all the time they're being bombarded, because it's still really, this is still a battle in the flesh that's taking place. Right at the start of prayer, this is how it is. And the demonic activity tries to come in and throw thoughts into the mind, thoughts of doubt, thoughts of accusation, wild thoughts. Are you listening? This is what happens when people say, I know as a Christian I must pray. Jesus says, listen, if you want to be a follower of me, then fine, be a follower of me. You pick up your cross and follow me daily. And Jesus gives us a pattern for life. And we know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to them, couldn't you pray an hour? Just 1 hour? So I'm dealing with reality here this morning. This is the reality of Christian life. This is not fantasy. It's not gimmicks. This is the reality of what it is to be a Christian. And people are in a warfare then as they begin to try and pray. All these thoughts come in. It's a battle. Oh, it's a battle. And there's an easy way for it to stop. Stop praying. Just stop. And as you're in that, in those first few minutes of prayer, that 10 minutes or whatever it is of prayer, and you're going through your list of prayer, this is what people usually do. They pray through that list of prayer. That's the first sort of realm, if you like, of prayer. I can distinguish three realms. There's many different types of prayer. I'm talking now about three different realms of prayer. What happens when we give ourselves to prayer? Not the types of prayer, realms of prayer. And this first realm is where this stuff comes in. And so we've gone through the list of relatives and friends, people who want to be saved, etc., and all those practical things. And the accusations are going, who do you think you are? Call yourself a Christian. Remember you did this. Remember that. Anything at all, the enemy will shoot those fiery arrows in to take us off track. And the quick way to end it is just to stop. And that's what many people do. They just stop. Easier to stop praying then. Let's be done with this. But what we have to do, I believe, to have discernment about this thing called prayer is to continue. The scriptures encourage us about the importance of prayer and being faithful in prayer and waiting on the Lord and spending that quality time then in prayer. Doesn't talk about specifics. Jesus does talk about that hour, of course. We enter into the next phase of prayer if we press through that phase. And if we don't give up, it depends. It lasts for quite a while sometimes. If people aren't used to praying, that can last a while. Can last quite a few minutes, that first phase. But if you can get through that, you enter into a period where I believe we're more involved then in the realm of the soul. So there's the physical of actually entering in, first of all, finding a place, shutting the door, being quiet, and then starting to pray, and still in the physical, in terms of being attacked, the flaming arrows and praying through and all of that. That's the first. Once we press through, we find a place where we're more in the soul realm. And the soul realm is about the mind, the will, and the emotions. And I find that prayer then moves from those initial petitions into a place where we're now perhaps engaging with our emotions and worship. See, I was taught that the Lord's Prayer is a template for all our prayer. And the Lord's Prayer says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the template is very often, okay, so you start with worship. Hallowed, you start with the worship in prayer. Not a bad place to start. So sometimes people do start with worship in prayer. They enter into his gates with thanksgiving in their heart, enter his courts with praise. They start with worship. But what I find is that when we close our doors and we pray on our own, what happens is usually it's this type of prayer that I've been talking about, where we're partitioning God, and it gets tedious. People tell me it's boring. They say, they open up their hearts. They say, look, I find it boring. I've fallen asleep, they say. I've done it. But it's because perhaps we haven't understood what's really going on. There's a battle taking place. The one thing the enemy doesn't want the church of the Lord Jesus Christ doing is being in prayer. So if he will attack you in any place, he's going to attack you in this place of prayer. Oh, you're going to give yourself all the excuses in the world. Your flesh is going to give you plenty of excuses. You just don't have the time. It's impossible with your busy schedule. Well, I do like that book. You all know the title I'm going to mention, I'm sure. It's the famous old book, Too Busy Not to Pray. I can remember, you know, I was involved with the Methodist Church for some time, and I was in Wesley's house, the home of world Methodism. And when I was there, I was taking a period of study one summertime, and I would go into the little room where John Wesley used to live, his bedroom. I had a privileged sort of access, and I'd go into this room in the morning, and I'd pray. I'd just spend time in prayer where he would pray. And as I was praying there, I could hear the busy street, city road on the outside, cars going by, and just very busy, just on the outskirts of the city of London. But behind that road was Bunhill Fields Cemetery, just outside the city of London limits, where all the nonconformists are buried, people like John Bunyan and the likes, Susanna Wesley. And as I'd pray there, I'd think, this is interesting. Here we have the busyness of life, day-to-day life, and then we have eternity. And if ever there was something that would cause you to pray, it's that reality of those two juxtaposed to one another. But I'm convinced that the enemy makes the flesh so attractive for us. He tries to take us away from the reality of human life and eternity. And he gets us into a bubblegum culture or whatever it might be, anything up to take us away from being engaged in that reality. But God has called us to be engaged in it. Brothers and sisters, listen, if we can do anything with our lives, if we spend it in this, then we will see great change, I believe. The Bible promises it. This is something that's an assured thing. It's the greatest investment that we could ever make. But there is a price to pay. The truth is that many people just don't want to pay the price. Now you see, we sing songs on a Sunday morning, we can get emotional on a Sunday morning, we can look to the cross of Jesus, and we say, oh yes, I follow him. Are you a follower of Jesus? Yes, I'm a follower of him. Will you pray an hour? You must be joking. Are we really following him? What does it mean to be a follower? It means that what he did, I want to do. Where he went, I want to go. Not literally, obviously. But in terms of communicating the truth of this great gospel and being relevant to people and letting people know the good news. My friends, this is not great revelation this morning. I am offering no great revelation here. The history books are full of people who prayed and God did something with their lives. And as I reflect on my own life and look at the people who don't pray, they're not doing anything great for God in their lives. As a church, we want to do something for God. We want to be the church that God has called us to be. We must be in prayer. And this is our utter privilege. And what I'm sharing now with you, if you can grasp hold of this morning, I promise you it'll change your life. I promise you it will change your life. If we can press through that first physical part of prayer, and we enter into this next realm of prayer, which is the realm of worship then, and praise. I view it as the soul realm, where the soul is engaged. We've gone past the physical, we're now in the realm of the soul. The mind, the will, and the emotions. My mind is engaged, I'm worshiping him, I'm praising him, honoring him. Come with me, please, as we look at a scripture here. Let's go to Philippians, shall we? Let's go to the book of Philippians. It says in Philippians 4, verse 6, it says this: be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. But in everything, by prayer, notice the prayer first of all. What's supplication? It's interesting. It says prayer first of all, which is, we can align to those things that we pray. You know, we pray those things. I pray my mom and my dad and the family and those people that we're reaching out. Those things that we run, those prayers. And then it says supplication. Well, surely if it says supplication as distinct from prayer, there's a reason for it being there. The word supplication in the Greek gives us an understanding of that which is heartfelt. Heartfelt calling. It's from the depths. I believe that that's akin to that realm that we're talking about. In the soul there, praying. The mind, the will, and the emotions. It says with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So as we do this, this is what happens. The Lord starts to minister to us. But what happens is, instead of talking all the time now, we're also listening more. We're listening. Our mind, our will, our emotions are involved. We've gone past the talk. Nothing wrong with that. We need that. That's the route in. It's a pathway in. But now we're in the realm of, yes, we're talking, we're thanking, we're worshiping, but we're listening more. Maybe we could liken this to the holy place. In the tabernacle. So you have the outer, the holy place, and then there's another place to go after that. The Holy of Holies. Well, where's the Holy of Holies? The Holy of Holies, I believe, in prayer, is that place where we become very still before God. Just quiet and still. We've been emotional. We've spoken out loud. We've cried out. But what we haven't done is we haven't left it there. Now, I'm telling you this, the flesh will try and stop you getting through to that final place. But it's in that final place that the promises of God are spoken to us. And we've got to wait to be there. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's they that wait upon the Lord. But the truth is that when we're in the first place, and even in the second place, what happens is our flesh is still trying to get us, and all of a sudden we become very hungry. And we talk to ourselves, our mind plays tricks with ourselves to say, oh, well, it's okay to pray. Prayer is a good thing. I know prayer is a good thing, but if I don't eat, I'll be dead, and then I won't be able to pray. I must go and have a sandwich. The flesh will try everything to pull us out of that spiritual realm and take us, stop us and take us out. But my friends, what we've got to do is we've got to learn the discipline of just waiting, spending time, disciplining ourselves, waiting. And people who do this are people who walk with God's insight and God's power. God's insight and God's power. And if you don't do this, you won't have God's insight and you won't have God's power. You have to pray. Christians have to pray. And this is the path of prayer. So don't ever think that prayer is a boring activity. No, it appears boring to you because you're in a battle. It might appear boring because you've not done it enough. You've not pressed in enough. But if you press in and you spend time and you are single-minded and determined and say, I will find out what God's will is for me in my life. I'm going to press in. I'm so happy I did this. I'm so happy. I had someone teach me about these things. I'm so glad I did. You know, I met this lovely lady, this beautiful lady, and I couldn't stop thinking about her. And I was going around churches as an evangelist and preaching and things, and I didn't want to be compromised. So I said, right, that's it. I'm going to spend a week in prayer and fasting. You know, sometimes you do have to really engage with your flesh. The apostle says he buffets his body. The apostle Paul says, I buffet my body. He says he keeps his body in check. He has to subdue his body at times because otherwise his flesh will run and lead him. And so we have to do this. But I went away for a week of prayer and fasting to spend time with God, to hear from God. Because I'd had enough of thinking about this girl. If it wasn't right, I thought, I'm not going to think about it anymore. I don't want to think about it. But if it's right, Lord, then please show me. You know, at the end of the week, when I was driving back home to Wales in my car, I knew that it was over. That whatever I needed to do, I had accomplished it that week. And I had such peace. Oh, I had such peace. It was joyous to have, you know, you have a burden, and sometimes that burden is just on you, a burden maybe for family members, for friends, for whatever it might be. If you go to prayer and you determine to give this over to God and press in and spend time and wait on the Lord, maybe you have to do it for a long period of time sometimes, but you do it and you say, God, I'm giving this to you. What happens is he'll take it. And then you'll know that it's done. And I knew that whatever would happen, I'd be happy because I'd given it to God. I knew I wouldn't miss out. If she was meant for me, I knew that we would be together. If she wasn't, praise God, because God's will was done. But I'm very happy that it worked out. And so blessed, you see. But, you know, you have to press in with God. And as a church, you know, we have to press in as a church. And as an individual, what's in store for you in your life? What job are you going to do? What's your work? What career are you thinking of having? What should you do in your days and your time and your resources? Well, should you stay the way you are and just let life go on as it is and that's it, and you just get older and that's it? Has God got something else? Maybe God's got something else. How do we find out? Prayer. This is a great treasure for us, the great privilege of our lives. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning, please, let's not forsake this great treasure that God has given us. The ultimate expression of a Christian life surely is prayer. Surely it's got to be prayer. Jesus says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. So, there's a promise in Scripture. I mentioned it from Isaiah 40:31. It says this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But it's for those who wait upon the Lord. The waiting part doesn't happen straight away. You don't just go into the Lord's presence and wait. It doesn't happen like that. What happens is you give all these requests, you talk, you go into this realm, there's worship, and it's those who are persistent and stay and remain and don't allow the enemy to throw them off course, they enter the place where they're waiting on the Lord. My friends, we're talking an hour's time. Roughly, it's an hour. In my experience, if I put a time on it, I'd say that's roughly. And the more we pray, the quicker it gets into that, you're quicker into this place. The less we pray, the longer this place is. And the more difficult it is to get into this place, and the easier it is just to fall off. So people who aren't used to this, very easy to fall away, give up. It becomes easy. But it's the Christian walk and the Christian life to pray. And each one of us here, I believe, should be giving time every day as an essential to this prayer. I hope this makes sense and the Lord is speaking to us this morning. I believe that He is. I believe this is a very important thing for us and for you as an individual. I really believe if we take this on board, it will change our individual lives and the life of this church. So when I look at what's in store for us this Lent, I'm enthusiastic about it because I know that giving that time of a prayer is very powerful. I'm very happy that we've decided to do this. This evening, I want us to have a look at the types of prayer that there are in the Scripture, various types of prayer in the Scriptures. So we're going to look at that. But I think before we do this evening, we're going to have questions and thoughts on what was spoken this morning. Amen. Let's stand together then.